The views, information, or opinions expressed during the Geeks Under the Influence podcast are solely those of the individuals involved and do not necessarily represent those of RVA Magazine, Loot Crate, Amazon.com, or their employees. Listener discretion is advised. Fuck off if you don't like it.
Freddy Krueger here, a.k.a. Robert Englund, and you're listening to Geeks Under the Influence. But first, I gotta kill Michael, the Hobbit Bicket. You should see his feet!
Mike the Hobbit here, ready to bring you another action-packed episode of Geeks Under the Influence. But before we continue with that, let's talk about our sponsors, the ones that make this possible, so we can continue on with this amazing podcast. First up, of course, is Amazon.com. They've been with us for a while. You can find a link to Amazon.com through our homepage at GYPodcast.com. Click on the Amazon affiliate link, and anything you purchase through that link, we get a little bit of a profit. So it's a way to buy all the amazing stuff that you can find on Amazon and help out your favorite podcast at the same time. Next one up is also one that you've heard about us talk about a lot on this podcast, is finally, we've got Loot Crate. That's right. The monthly subscription service where they have a different theme every month. Last month was speed, where there was everything was related to speed, cars, all sorts of stuff. Every month there's a different theme. And if you go through the link that you can find at gypodcast.com or through the link that's attached to the notes of this very episode that you're listening to, any subscription purchase that you get through that link, we get credited for. So again, a way to get amazing monthly, like it's like a little birthday present every month. And you get a present, and then we get to continue on with a better and bigger podcast every single month just by subscribing to Loot Crate through a link on gypodcast.com. Finally, we got to give thanks to LornaDigital.com. Lorna was nice enough to build that fantastic website that you can find at GUIPodcast.com that shows all the different panelists that we have, links to all of our friends and sponsors, all of our social media links as well, so you can join the conversation. All of that is possible thanks to the programming glory of LornaDigital.com. If you let her know that you heard about her on Geeks Under the Influence, you will get the friends and family discount. And that's about it. Join the conversation. Hit us up on Twitter at GYPodcastRBA or Facebook. Just look up Geeks Under the Influence. Instagram, Geeks Under the Influence, all one word. Or just go to GYPodcast.com. It's got all our links there. Now on to the episode.
Super bummed when Strummer died. And I was also super pissed that I was never going to get to see
them, right?
Yeah.
Exactly. It's one of those things where, like, that, like, people say you don't have regrets, but there are certain things that I regret in my life. I never got to see Dimebag Darrell.
You have a few.
Yeah.
Right?
I do.
Never got to see
Darryl. Pantera. Or just Dimebag in general. Like, I was supposed to go on the Damage Plan tour in October at the Norva, and then he got shot in December. Like, motherfucker, man.
And what's funny is that, you know, Phil Anselmo is here.
Right? He is
and
here.
And we've been in the smoking area with him twice, and both times didn't really feel like we needed to bother even talking to him.
He was too busy talking about his prostate.
Yeah, he talked about his prostate. That's so weird.
I like how we took Dimebag Darrell's death and just made it all about us.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah.
You know, that and, like, I didn't have any white wine to offer him, so I just I really didn't think I had anything.
White wine power.
Not familiar with
white wine power.
Inside joke.
The white wine thing?
No.
Oh, no.
Not familiar with
he was on stage at a show, and literally, at the end of the show, he said white power and did a Sieg Heil. Yeah.
At the end of the show.
But he said he was talking about the white wine he drank backstage before that. And he
yeah, he said there was an inside joke that he was talking about the white wine.
Right,
that he was drinking, because that's how you joke about white wine.
After this episode, I'll show you the there's footage of that someone caught him saying white power doing a Sieg Heil. It's there. Like, there's no getting away from that.
There was fortunately for everyone, no Sieg Heiling happening with him that I saw. I wasn't next to his booth all day, but you know.
Yeah, I mean.
I mean, the Belly Meeson Blue's been around a long time. Come on, we used to do it in the United States here.
The what?
The Belly Meeson Blue, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. No. That's kind of like the swastika used to mean like a peaceful thing.
Yeah.
That's kind of off the. Also, nobody rocks the Hitler stash besides Michael Jordan now.
When I lived in India, there were swastikas everywhere.
It's Michael Jordan.
It's Michael Jordan. It's fine.
When I lived in India, we had swastikas in our school, like, you know, looked all pretty, like set into the floor and stuff. I'm like, what are these swastikas doing here? No, they mean something different.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah.
Well, and see, Phil is trying to take it back, like Porch Monkeys and Clerks 2. He's trying to make white power like a talk, something you say when you have a really tasty Pinot Grigio, you know?
Yeah,
like, ooh, white power.
It's okay. Right? Like, that's okay. I'm taking it back.
It's going to be adopted by the wine culture worldwide. Yeah. Just white power.
It's got notes of vanilla and subjugation. And it's, it's tasty.
White so power. Good.
Oh, it's so tasty. Good.
Yes, you're drinking the white power.
So yeah, we're not talking about white power or really even Pantera on this episode. We are at Monster Mania in Hunt Valley, Maryland, just a little bit north of Baltimore, for the Monster Mania Horror Convention. It's been a blast so far. We're doing this on the Saturday evening of the con. It's a 3-day con from Friday to Sunday. Always happens around the tail end of September, early October.
Yeah, like last year it was the first weekend of October. This year it kind of falls in both months because it started on the end of September.
And we did an episode last year at Monster Mania. That was our first
con episode. Yeah,
first con episode. Well, no, we did Heavy Rebel.
That was a mini episode on a rock band, mic, dude. Okay,
yeah, that's true. Yeah, the Heavy Rebel episode we recorded on a legitimate rock band mic.
That doesn't count.
No,
it was fun, but it doesn't count.
But yeah, the audio from last year, it was nice enough that Knee High Horror and Eerie Scary Masks joined us last year.
Yep.
And they were great. The audio was not the best because we were still figuring out what the hell we were doing
We used a room mic at that point, but it wasn't the rock band, but we used a room mic.
Yeah, it was a USB room mic, but it was still the audio was choppy. Luckily, we have better equipment now, and we have a lot more to bring you. On probably the mid-episode break of this episode, you're going to be able to hear an interview that we did with one Robert Englund, as well as interviews with an indie filmmaker and whoever else we end up scaring up by the end of the scaring up.
See what I did?
Scaring up. Just move.
It's a horror con.
Move along,
and
sir.
See what I did was I said scared up.
Move along.
Okay. All right. So this is Geeks Under the Influence, our Monster Mania Horror Convention episode. Welcome.
Geeks Under the Influence.
Really? You're going to give me shit?
I stole it from you. I took it from you.
You did.
I took it from you.
I was absolutely about to do that, too.
I know you were. I know you were.
It's been an absolute blast so far. We've met some really fucking cool people. That's the thing and we've talked about it on previous con episodes, where you get convention friends.
Yeah.
People that you run into in line, or out smoking, or hanging out at the bar, or something, where you end up running into them throughout the weekend, and you just talk shop about your favorite movies or the people that you met. Like, this person's really nice, this person's kind of a dick, you know, just insights into the convention. And we've been fortunate enough to have exactly that this year as well. Made friends with a few vendors. Hopefully, if he's not able to make it here for this recording, we'll get a few minutes with a gentleman that has a game called Movie Buff that we've seen at a bunch of cons.
Yeah, right? Yeah.
But the big one for us.
The big kahuna.
We got an interview with one Robert fucking Englund last night. I'd heard previously that he was a little bit short with interviewers and stuff previous to that, but we didn't see any of that.
No. He was so pleasant. He was, and it wasn't like coaxing him into possibly doing the episode. We literally, Hobbit brought it up, and then he's like, sure. Like, it was just, he just opened the platform for like, whenever I have a second, and he kind of looked around and was like, well, it's kind of dead now. And I was like, so you can do it now? He's like, sure, why not? Like, it was just like nonchalant, not a big deal. We obviously paid for our autographs.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, that was going to happen whether or not.
Well, exactly.
Like, he did the podcast.
So he was just like, okay, we'll just do it now. So
yeah.
Did it 10 minutes and.
Yeah. So you're going to hear that interview a little bit later. But.
So good.
Really, this convention, what I do like about it, as opposed to say, or Mad Monster, or Scares the Care, or When Blood on the Beach and Horrifying happened, is that it's a lot more relaxed. The guests, the celebrities, and also the people coming in, like, it's a lot more just chill. Everybody's talking to each other. It's not this, like, it's not a party convention, but it's also not like a rushing you through like Wizard World or something where you just have to go the whole time. It's really relaxed, and I really do appreciate that. We talked with from Nightmare on Elm Street,
she played
and,
Tina. She had the famous drug up the wall across the ceiling death, the
yes,
first death scene,
absolutely,
in the movie, the bloody, gory, nasty awesomeness.
Yeah, she was an absolute sweetheart.
Was it Weiss? Yeah, I think it was Weiss.
Yeah, it was Weiss. Yeah,
Amanda Weiss?
Amanda Weiss, that sounds right.
Okay.
I think that's right.
Yeah.
But anyway, she was a sweetie. We talked with her for like 10 minutes and only afterwards realized, like, why weren't we recording that? She seemed like she would have been the type that was like, yeah, no, absolutely.
There is tomorrow.
Yeah, we might swing by and get an interview with her. We'll see. What is really nice is you get kind of the feel for how these celebrities are otherwise. There's some that are a little bit stuffy and kind of like off, you know, not the friendliest of celebrities. And then there's the ones that you just love that much more. Because they're just sweethearts and they love their fans and they love coming out. And
yeah,
as Christy Swanson said during her panel interview, that she loves coming out to conventions because she gets to interact with her fans and talk about stuff and bring up stuff and like reminisce about stuff that she did in the past. And it's really cool.
So. I got her interview. I got her autograph in 2010 at Horrifying to Women's.
I remember that. Yeah,
you know, we went with Anthony Groots and
you told me that she wanted to fuck
she
my
was
tattoo.
Even more approachable. Like, she seemed even more relaxed at this one.
Absolutely. She she did seem really relaxed, which is nice. You want the celebrities to feel comfortable, and and so that's good to see. So who did we get autographed?
I got, Robert Englund, obviously. I told him, like, you know, would you mind personalizing it with any of your favorite Freddy catchphrases? And he was like, I've got tons of them. Literally, do you have one of mine? Because I've got tons that I would love to write. And I was like, you know, the Welcome to Primetime bitch from Nightmare on Elm Street 3.
So good.
And he's like, that's actually one of my top 10. And I'm like, okay, well, then sign.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And he did it in big, bold letters,
yeah,
too.
Like, it's awesome. I love it. And then I've got the mother, who I'm actually trying to look up her name.
There is the flyer right behind you. Yep.
All right.
There are so many celebrities, it's hard to keep track of everybody.
It really is. Like, there are like 40 celebrities here.
Did anyone see William Catt? He was supposed to be here.
But no, I don't think
him.
I saw him.
Ronnie Blakely. She played the mother in the original Nightmare on Elm Street. And I asked her a similar question. I was like, please, you know, it's a pleasure meeting you. You know, would you personalize it with any of your favorite quotes in the movie? And she picked the best quote that she had in the movie. And I completely blanked on it. And it was like, it's okay, mommy, it's okay, honey, mommy killed him. Like,
yeah. Yeah,
it's fucking
great.
Beautiful.
Absolutely.
And for those who don't know, it's a scene in Nightmare on Elm Street when she goes to the basement and opens the furnace and pulls the gloves out and is talking to Heather Langenkamp or Nancy and is like, it's okay. Like, no, you're still fucking crazy. Like, you just told your daughter it's okay because you killed somebody. Like, it's not okay. I love that line.
Yeah, we're actually recording this just before the Nightmare on Elm Street panel where it's got Robert Englund, the woman that played Amanda
Blakely. Ronnie Blakely plays the mom, and then Amanda Weiss plays Tina.
Yep.
That's what it was.
Yeah. So that's really kind of the main focus now on why I like coming to conventions. The autographs and the pictures are great, but really the Q&As are everything. I mean, you find out so much cool insight about, you know, what went into the films and kind of the insights as to how an actor gets into character and just all these fun stories about their co-actors and everything. It's just, it's an absolute blast to kind of get that inside feel.
Yeah. I mean, earlier today, we went to the Christy Swanson panel, and there's just a lot of cool inside info about not just Buffy the Vampire Slayer, but everything she's done, you know, past and present around that, you know, moving forward. Because it was just fun to hear her stories, and even though someone asked a question about fucking Phantom, god damn it,
there were two questions about Phantom, but not the important one, which is, you know, how's working with Billy Zane,
Billy Zane.
And I will point out from the Christy Swanson Q&A, there's something I want to say to our listeners. If you're interested in going to a convention and you want to ask a question of the celebrity doing the Q&A, absolutely. But think your question through before asking it. There was a gentleman there that asked a couple questions that we were sitting like across the row from him.
Yeah, we were right next to him.
Yeah, and I heard him clearly. I just didn't understand a goddamn thing that he meant by his question. It was really garbled and made no sense.
Yeah, basically the end of the question was at the middle and the beginning was at the end, and it was
like
really
weird. It was
weird.
Like if William S. Burroughs was asking a question where he just like mixed everything up.
No, seriously though, I agreed. Like, you still have to make, you know, other people want to ask questions. A lot of people go to the Q&As to ask their questions. So when you ask the question, make sure it's precise. Like, you ask coherently what you want to ask, so
absolutely,
you can get the answer that you want, not a mix match jumble of words, and then like they have to go, what? Because literally she went like, I don't, what'd you say? Like, You don't want that. You don't want that. You know, they're up there doing Q&A. You're going to get up in front of everybody else at the Q&A, and you just want to make sure that you're... And you also want to make sure, and if someone else asks the question, that you paid attention enough, and you don't ask them the same fucking question.
Right, that happened too.
Did happen.
Yeah, that happens.
Where was asked about Buffy, whether she was asked or not to be part of the TV series.
Yeah.
I think was the question that got asked twice.
And that guy was there the whole time.
She even mentioned, like, yeah, we covered that earlier, and by earlier, it was like 10 minutes before.
Yeah, it was like 10 minutes ago. Yeah.
It's like, if you're going to be at a Q&A, maybe pay attention to what questions are asked first as well.
And I will say that last year, if you listen to the Monster Mania episode from last year, the hottie toddy on that episode that we talked about was Dee Wallace, because she was here being just frisky as fuck.
Oh, frisky as hell.
And
yeah.
I got to say, she's like one of the top babes this year, man. She is fucking fine.
Gorgeous.
She's, yeah, beautiful. Like, she aged very well. Her body's still there.
And it doesn't hurt that she's very nice, too.
She's a sweetheart.
Yeah.
She's so nice.
So we're working it out. We're not sure if it's going to happen yet, but there's a possibility we're going to have a phone interview with her that will attach to the Buffy the Vampire Slayer episode that we're going to be doing later on in October. So definitely check that out as well. No promises. We're going to see what we can do.
Yeah.
But she was very nice about it and talked to her agent. So we're going to figure that out.
Yeah.
So let's go into kind of – we've mentioned briefly on previous con episodes the kind of do's and don'ts of conning, you know, the things that you do. Another thing is when you approach the celebrities, say yes, sir, or yes, ma'am. You know, be polite. You know, these people are here and you are paying for the autographs, but why make it a bad experience for them? Because this is, for some of them, as exciting for them to meet their fans as it is for you to meet the celebrities that you adore. So make it a pleasant experience for everyone. Be polite. Ask. You know, I noticed with Lowdown when you went up to a couple of celebrities, even though they're there to sign autographs and you're paying for the autographs, you still ask politely if that's okay, if they would be willing to sign it. You're being a gentleman about it. And I try to do the same. It's just the polite thing to do, you know?
Yeah, it's not like, okay, I paid their handler the money and just, here, sign it. Like, I paid for it. No, it's like, hi, you know, pleasure to meet you, you know. Would you mind signing this for me? Because you're right. It's just courteous, man.
Yeah.
Like, fuck, dude. Like, how hard is it to ask somebody politely to do something? It shouldn't, like, but I see other conners that just don't do that. They just do that. They pay the handler and then they're like, here you go.
And like, certainly avoid overly exuberant statements like, oh, I'm your biggest fan. No, you're not. You're not their biggest fan.
Yeah,
exactly. You're never going to be.
Oh, we didn't do the introductions, but I mean, our regular listeners know us, but I'm Mike the Hobbit Bickett. You can find me at Mike Bickett on Twitter.
I am Lowdown Brown MacGyver. Sexual Chocolate. You'll know me.
Yep.
What's up, guys?
So glow.
And then newbie panelist here.
I'm Jesse Jones, and, you know, I'm a longtime friend of Mike here, and a little bit less of a longtime friend of Steven here.
Yeah,
he's racist. You may have heard him on the occult...
Hey now.
He joined us for the first time on
my political affiliation.
On last week's occult movies episode. So this is your second time now. So
that was fun. This is fun.
By the way, thank you for speaking into the microphone. That's always nice when that happens.
It's so hard. People don't understand that.
No.
People just don't get that.
Thank you for having me on your show. This is an amazing experience. You know, I'm honored to be a part of it.
Well,
I'm very excited for you, and I'm going to do everything I can to promote it. And make sure this becomes
as
big as you want.
Or that you were going
to
say everything I can do to fuck it up, but because that's what friends do.
Well, I'm just going to do that anyway.
Yeah, yeah.
That's through no fault of my own.
Yeah, true, true,
true.
But yeah, the three of us, we tried to get Socks and Sandals Groots to come along, and also Kyle Smash to join us, but money or time, you know, they're you know, it's kind of hard to get away for a weekend sometimes. Life is
sometimes
busy.
It is.
Yeah,
life is life.
Yeah, you know, absolutely. You
know, it just doesn't work
Which
out.
Which goes with the being polite to the celebrities, because a lot of them are still acting. They have other stuff. They're coming out here because, yes, it does make them money, but a lot of them, it's almost like their vacation from getting away from filming and, you know.
Well, if you look at, so Amanda Weiss, who played Tina in Nightmare on Elm Street, we asked her, again, that's why we should have recorded this, with her talking to her, was she's got three things in development right now. Three things, two of which are slated for 2017, and I think the next one is still being worked out, the third one.
Yeah.
But they're like three things she's active with.
What was the one
awesome.
That said was kind of her version of Whatever Happened to Baby Jane?
Oh, it was...
was it The Id?
Was it The Id? I thought it was the one under that. I guarantee it's not listed in here. Shit. Oh.
I don't know. We'll try to get a couple minutes with her tomorrow.
Yeah, but no, it wasn't the id, but there was one that she said, yeah, it was like, and that really sparked my interest, because I've never heard anybody compare their movie to Whatever Happened to Baby Jane.
Because that's an amazing movie. Fuck. Oh, yeah, that's fucking
Holy
dark.
Holy shit, that movie, I remember when somebody told me about it, they and like, I didn't fully understand what they meant, because the way they described it was like, oh, it's scary and it's horrifying, and I watched them like, it's a whole different level of fucked up, man.
Yeah.
Like, oh, and for those that have not seen it, if you watch it, it's black and white, Betty Davis, and who played the sister?
Oh.
She's a famous actress, too.
Yeah, I can't remember off the top of my head. It's been years since I've seen that movie.
It's black and white, older flick, but keep in mind the content for the time the movie came out. Please.
Was that the No Wire Hangers movie?
Huh?
No, that's Mommy Dearest.
Oh, that is Mommy Dearest.
Mommy Dearest, that was a
biopic of Joan Crawford.
That's right. Yeah, yeah, no, you're correct.
That movie's another fucked up movie.
I think it was based on the memoirs of her daughter.
It was. The daughter wrote a book, and then they made the movie.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
But that's also kind of the thing that's nice about these conventions is there's every level of celebrity. You go to, a gentleman that we interviewed that you, actually Jesse bought the movie of. What was the name of the movie that he was schlocking?
I actually have it right over here somewhere.
Watch.
Oh, yep. It's called Catch of the Day.
Catch of the Day. Very nice guy.
James Buscema.
Yes, and we spoke with James earlier, and the interview will be attached to this episode as well. And it's just an independent filmmaker that makes movies and has made several movies and is doing his best to push his product, which I can fully understand being, you know, a podcaster. You know, we are going around passing out flyers, talking to people. You know, we ran into a guy in the hall that we mentioned the podcast, and he immediately pulled it up and subscribed to it on his phone. I mean, because it is grassroots. It is DIY. And I love talking to those guys because the amount of work and dedication that it goes into being a just independent, like slow, you know, independent filmmaker, with your own production company, doing all the work yourself. That's a person that I want to know.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because that's so much work. And he was perfectly nice to talk to. Very nice gentleman. Then you've got the B-movie actors, you know, the genre actors that do all the horror movies and stuff and been a bunch of schlock and everything, that the horror nerds or the sci-fi nerds or, you know, whatever con you're going to know, but maybe the populace doesn't. And then you get big name actors occasionally. Like last year here was it here that Matthew Lillard was
at? Here.
Yeah, it was here last
Matthew
year.
Matthew Lillard and who's the other big one?
Well, Romero was last year as well.
Yeah, Romero and Nick Castle.
Nick Castle,
Nick
that's
Castle,
right.
Nick Castle, the original Michael Myers. And actually, they had like two Michael Myers here. And
that's right.
And they had Michael Myers at age, the Will Anderson, who played Michael Myers at age six in the beginning of the movie.
He was really funny. Like,
he was, yeah, because he was bitching about fucking Tony, whatever the fuck.
Oh, yeah, Tony Moran.
Yeah, Tony Moran.
Yeah.
It was a big old, basically last year's was basically a John Carpenter orgasm, because they had that, they had They Live, and they had The Thing, and they didn't have John Carpenter. I was so pissed.
Yeah.
So pissed.
Like, we got to do our best to try to meet Carpenter at some point.
Dude, it's fucking Carpenter, man. Yeah. Oh. And I love the fact that if you ever watch an interview with Carpenter, he's so direct. Some people think of him as being an asshole. No, he's just very direct with his answers. Like, you ask him a question, he answers it. But it can come, like, if you ever watch an interview, it can come across like he's being an asshole.
Yeah.
But I
get directness. That's fine.
Yeah, I'm a direct person. I get, like, I get, he answered that the way you want, you know, you wanted the answer. So that's how he answered it.
Yeah.
You know? So I'd be really happy to have him, you know, if we could get an interview with him.
Yeah, true.
That would be.
I'd be really happy if he were a dick to me. That's fine.
That's what I'm saying. Like, I don't care.
If it's John Carpenter. He can be whoever he wants to be.
If he was a complete asshole to me, I'm okay.
Because then you can say, John Carpenter was an asshole to me.
Exactly. Like,
you
still have that exactly. Story. Fuck,
there,
man.
There are a few people that I have on my list of people that can be dicks to me, like, because I worship them. Like, Billy Dee Williams could be a dick to me, and that would be fine. Because Lando fucking Calrissian was a dick to me. Yeah, okay, good, sure. Fine, absolutely.
No problem.
George Romero, of course, whatever he wants to do. If I can bask in that man's glow, I'm happy. That's perfectly
you
fine.
You want him to sweat on you, you'd be fine.
I would be fine with that. If he wants to give me like an awkwardly long hug, that would be fine. Gangly motherfucker, because he is a gangly dude, George Romero. Like, he's just tall and thin and just like...
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, he's also old.
Yeah.
So
he's like the tall man from Phantasm tall. Like it's
it's weird how he's that
tall. Angus Grimm.
Yeah.
You play a good
rest
game.
Rest in peace,
boy.
Angus.
Yeah, Angus. Your movie's coming out soon, bro.
Oh, Ravenger's coming out soon. Yeah.
And they're doing the Blu-ray release of the other Scream Factory did a release of 2. But they're also re-releasing 1, 3, and 4 on Blu-ray, too, with a 2K scan. So I'm pretty stoked to get that collection.
Nice.
All Blu-ray Phantasm.
Well, that's kind of the fun part as well, as we talked about some of the celebrities and a little bit on vendors. But there's stuff that you don't even think to look for online until you get to a con and you see it up. And everybody's like, oh, shit, you have this. Just, like, hard to find unreleased stuff that's been burned or whatever that you just can't get. So you just buy a bootleg of it because that's really the only option for a lot of these older horror movies that never got re-released on DVD or Blu-ray that are impossible to find. Or they even have concert stuff. I know at a previous con, I got a bootleg of Evil Dead the Musical because it's never been officially released and it's not come through Richmond. So I've not had the chance to see it. So that's a wonderful thing.
Yeah, I agree with you, Hobbit. Like, I've, previous cons, it wasn't this con, but it was the Mad Monster, like, 3 years ago. I got a bootleg copy of Werewolf, the old Fox TV show.
Holy shit, really?
Yeah,
really?
I own that. It's a bootleg copy of that. You remember that show, Jesse?
No, I mean, you have
this. Yeah, because it only lasted 2 seasons. I own both seasons.
I need to get a bootleg copy of, I think it was on Fox, Kindred, the vampire TV series.
Okay, Aaron Spelling's Vampire the Masquerade adaptation, which was so, and the only reason it was canceled was because, at least this is what the rumor was, because the main character that played Lucius, the Venture Prince, was killed in a motorcycle accident that summer.
Oh.
And so then they, like,
so,
I don't...
sunlight, stakes, and motorcycle accidents kill vampires.
Apparently. Who knew about the motorcycle accidents? I had no idea.
Yeah, right?
See, I'm a big Forever Night nerd, so, like, I own the DVDs for the first...
Forever Night, really?
Yes.
Oh,
yes,
Jesus
God
Christ.
Damn it. Rick Springfield played him in the movie Pilot, And then it was I don't know if I'm pronouncing it,
so,
but Grant Rhys-Davies played him in the series.
Nice.
So do all your friends wish they had your girl?
Oh, well,
everybody
done.
Sings that goddamn song to me every time they see me.
That's a straight up dad joke,
is,
but I'm giving
but
you a
so
pass
good.
On that
it's
one.
So good.
That's good. Like, that's good.
Said, everybody says that. They're like, I wish I had Jesse's girl. And I'm like, yes, yeah, so do I. So
yeah, fair enough.
But no, you wish everyone had your girl because apparently, like, you know.
I wish I had my girl.
And then what else did I find? Oh, I found a bootleg copy of a Misfits concert.
Yes.
From like the slate from like 78 at a con. I'm like, okay.
Yes.
And I own that too.
I actually found an
badass
old Misfits bootleg a long time ago where it was actually like for public access TV in Jersey or something. And this dude came out and talked to Glenn Danzig for a second.
I've seen that. That's where they're like the gym or something. They're like a gymnasium or something like
something
that.
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah, they do like Skulls and Mommy Could Have Gone and Killed Tonight and... Horror Business and all
I also
that
got
stuff.
A bootleg of a Sam Haid concert that was fucking bonkers. Like,
was it awesome?
Yo, it was fucking great.
Yeah.
I still have that. I got that on DVD.
Nice.
But yeah, as far as vendors, we've got a lot of people selling movies and stuff. Normally, the T-shirt game is strong at these conventions.
It's weak.
It's a little weak. One of our favorite printing companies is here. Pizza Party Printing is fantastic. They got killer fucking shirts, and I think we've bought Pizza Party Printing stuff before. So they're here representing. They are a hard fucking working T-shirt company. They're at like every con we go to.
Mm-hmm.
Even smaller ones like Scares That Care, they're at.
Yep, they were there.
They work their asses off, so definitely check them out. We're not being paid to plug them. We just really like that T-shirt company.
Yeah, like I literally every con I go to, I buy something from them.
Yeah, pretty much.
Okay. I'm a huge T-shirt whore at these conventions, and this one
is kind of a little weak on the T-shirts.
It's almost non-existent when it comes to genre-specific.
That's not really the responsibility of the convention because they can't make people come and sell their wares.
I get that.
Yeah.
So it was just the roll of the dice that not many T-shirt vendors came out this year. So there is a 3D printing guy here that has these awesome like Buddha statues of like anything you can imagine. And also Lowdown got a little 3D printed item.
T-800 skull. Yes, yeah. Basically.
I got nice. The
awesome.
One of a kind Eddie from Peace of Mind with the large $30 one.
Nice.
The chains and the straitjacket.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
And so there was, it was solid. Like, I he had a couple different Eddie ones, and I eyeballed those. But then when I saw the T-800 bust, the smaller one for 20, I was like, yes. Because the eyes are red, and it's, so good.
Yeah.
Well, and the funny thing, we've talked to vendors before on previous con episodes, but with the 3D printer guy, the movie buff game that Lowdown bought, the movie buff guy got his logo from the game printed out by the 3D printer guy who does custom order stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure that came along because of cons, going to the same cons and everything, just like Knee High Horror that we talked to last year, who's here again this year, does little cardboard cutout things. And I saw a number of, especially the movie people with their independent films, cutouts of their logos and stuff that obviously came from Knee High Horror.
Yeah.
Where these vendors are actually utilizing each other as well. You know?
And why not?
Yeah, no, it's smart. They probably cut each other a discount because, I mean, con buddies, you know? Yeah. You do that, but...
Well, I saw Chrissy Swanson had a Buffy the Vampire, like, cardboard cutout. I'm wondering if she got that from Knee High.
Ooh, maybe.
Because, remember, at her desk on to the right, it was a Knee High Horror.
Mm, yeah.
I mean, well, it was a Buffy the Vampire Slayer, just her with Luke Perry around her waist.
Yeah.
Cutout, and I'm like, I don't know.
I mean, it would be a smart move on his part. Yeah.
He's gone now, but he was here earlier today.
Yeah. Yeah.
So
there's a lot of vendors just selling weird stuff. Like with my girlfriend, I did it with Scares That Care, and I'm going to do it this time as well. At Scares That Care, I got her the novelization of Elektra, the movie Elektra, signed by the writer was there. And I got her to sign it and do an inscription for Katie from the novelization of the adaptation of the comic.
Okay.
So it was a comic book.
I thought
book.
You meant a novelization of...
No, it is. Of the movie.
Oh, of the Jennifer Garner.
Yeah, so that's how ridiculous. How meta that is, where it was a comic book that got adapted into a movie that got novelized.
The silliest thing I've ever seen was what's his face that did Mr. Murder and Koontz, Dean Koontz.
Right.
Dean Koontz.
So, and he did a novelization of Funhouse. Remember that 80s schlock? No,
the book came out before the movie did.
This, are you sure?
Yeah.
Because the book tried to be very poignant and like
the movie's not at all. I recently bought the movie
because
Scream Factory released. I'm gonna bring them up. We should get sponsored by Shout Factory.
Yeah, oh my god, if we could.
Right?
Yeah.
I keep bringing them. I own a lot of your fucking Blu-rays. Please.
Or Scream Factory.
Well, Scream Factory. Oh yeah, yeah. Under Shout Factory. Shout Factory is the main company. They have a collector's edition of Funhouse.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember that because as a kid, I watched a movie and it scared the living fuck out of me. But it was one of the few movies as a kid that like fucking wigged me out.
Yeah.
Because that like mongoloid son is just creepy as shit. Yeah.
But I think there was a vendor that I saw here last year as well that's here doing like selling a bunch of books. It's got, you know, Stephen King and Tolkien and your standard stuff, but a lot of novelizations as well. And I looked for it because I think the last time I saw him, he had it, but he didn't have it this time. I saw the novelization of the Arnold Schwarzenegger movie Total Recall, which talk about like how fucking absurd that is, because that's based on a book or a short story.
It's based on a short story, yeah.
Yeah, which, by Philip K.
Fucking
Dick.
But the movie didn't have anything at all.
No. Short story. We sell your Dreams for Wholesale or something is the name of the short story.
We sell Dreams for Wholesale. Yeah.
It's a Philip K. Dick short story. Fantastic. That got adapted into a movie that then got novelized, which is so
and then
absurd.
With a shitty ass remake.
Oh, and then it had a shitty ass remake as well. So there's so much weirdness there. It's wonderful. So there was a comic book vendor here selling a bunch of cool comic book stuff. I saw a Child's Play comic.
Oh, yeah.
What's that?
There's a Friday the 13th comic.
Yep. There was a Star Wars comics galore.
The Clive Barker comics.
And also had old Fangoria issues. What was the one that you saw that you...
Crossed. I was trying to find the Garth Ennis run of Cross because I wanted the first fucking issue.
Oh, the first issue of Cross. Yeah, which I don't think would go for a whole lot, really.
But it's Garth Ennis.
Yeah. If anybody's unfamiliar, Garth Ennis did a series or started a series called Crossed where it's kind of like a zombie thing, but it's way fucking darker.
It's really dark.
Well, it's Garth Ennis. Anything
and depraved,
he does.
And fucking depraved.
He writes depraved comics.
Yes.
If you're familiar with Preacher, that's Garth Ennis. If you're familiar with The Boys.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's depraved as fuck.
I can't wait for that.
God.
If you've seen Daredevil Season 2, that Punisher, that's Garth Ennis' version of the Punisher from the Marvel Max series.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm just saying, that's that's his Punisher.
Oh, yeah, that's totally his Punisher.
You know?
Yeah.
So Garth Ennis is just badass at what he does.
Yeah.
They also had a comic, 68. I don't know if you're familiar with it. It's, no. It's a zombie comic, but it's set in Vietnam in 1968.
Oh, wow.
It was the Vietnam War. How's ooh, that? Fucking undead everywhere, yeah.
Nice.
How's that? No, but that's pretty fun.
I want to buy them all, actually. Like, he has, like, 10 issues down there, and I'm like... But I want to look into it first to see how many issues there are, because I have to get everything all at once. I can't...
You can't sit on stuff?
I can't, like, buy it piecemeal, and, like... You know, when Wild Cards was being written, the superhero novels, I walked out with, like, 15 books.
Jesus.
I can't just buy the first one. I need them all at once. And
I kind of get that, though, because sometimes I'll go in and I'll buy a trade of something that I'd never read before. Like, I was talking... there's a gentleman... at one of the vendors that we talked to that we're probably going to end up partying with later on tonight, that had this fucking sweet Saga back patch. It was fucking amazing, and it was like looked like an old fucking punk rock logo. It was badass as shit. Apparently, we manage as a comic book store, but I told him I got kind of late in the game on Saga, got the first trade, and then had to literally, once I got done reading it, had to go back out and get the second one of Saga because I couldn't wait, you know. That I didn't want to wait, and then I caught up, and now I have to wait for the next trade to come out because I don't want to buy the individual issues. I'm kind of trying to stop doing that because it's just too expensive. I'm spending 50 bucks every like 2 weeks, or was on the individual issues, and it's just too much.
I've only ever collected Akira, the Marvel imprint run, like was it 36 issues?
Yeah.
That's the only comic I've ever actually collected.
Yeah.
And it will always be my baby.
No, fair
but
enough.
I really have no interest in actually collecting pretty much anything.
Yeah.
I see something I like, I'll get it. But, you know, other than novels, I don't really collect.
Yeah. Monster Mania also does one in Cherry Hill as well.
Two.
Which does two?
Yeah, they do three cons a year. Two in Cherry Hill in the first part of the year, and then the end of the year they do the Monster Mania in Hunt Valley.
Nice. Nice. Yeah. So, Stephen, you've been to... Cherry Hill.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you said that's a little bit more of a party convention than this one?
It's a little more crazy. Yeah. They tend to go a little bonkers on that one. Yeah. It was huge. They take up every available space.
Damn.
In that con. Cause like, it was like, you have your main vendor room. Then there was like a whole other convention area that they had vendors set up. And then there was like a room upstairs where like Carrie Fisher was at and like a couple other vendors.
Oh,
like,
Carrie Fisher. One day I will meet that woman. Yep.
One day, you missed it, because Hunter got Empire Strikes Back signed by her, a poster signed by
God
her.
God damn it.
That con.
God
that con
damn
had, like, Malcolm McDowell and George Romero, Carrie Fisher, Danny Glover, Gary Busey, fucking Christopher Lloyd, Jake Busey. I mean, like, it had so many people at that con. It was crazy.
Now, aside from the celebrities, we talked about celebrities and vendors, but there's another element to the con experience that is the reason why we get hotel rooms and stay for the entire weekend. It's not just the vendors and the celebrities and the Q&As. It's the party.
Oh, the party.
Because you stick a bunch of like-minded people that like a thing that's very niche, like horror movies, in a building together. They're going to want to hang out and talk about the shit after. We talked about con friends, and that's how that happens. You end up going to the bar at the hotel or standing out front, you know, smoking cigarettes or whatever, and you end up talking to people that we're all so excited that you know that Brain Dead was the European released version of Dead Alive. Like there's no having to explain that to people. Like everybody's like, well, no. Yeah, of course I know that. Like, why are you even questioning the fact that I know that?
But it happens. Cause like, for instance,
that was me, by the way.
Yeah.
Shameless self-promotion there. That was me.
Another panelist, Fuck You Hunter, and his wife were here. And he had his OG Brain Dead shirt on, and like, yeah, people saw that and was like, oh, nice. Like,
well, the funny thing is, he was bitching about the fact that
someone else owned it.
Somebody else had it at the con, and I was like, dude, you're in like the meat of the niche here. And after they left, right after that conversation, the next time we went through the vendor room, there was somebody wearing my Freddy Krueger T-shirt that I'm wearing right now.
Oh, was there?
Yeah, there's another person at this con with this T-shirt. I've got this badass like original. Designed Freddy Krueger with the needles, the heroin needles from Dream Warriors, and it has Dared to Resist Drugs and Violence logo underneath it. It's fucking glorious. I love this shirt. It's my favorite shirt. and there's somebody else wandering around who stopped me and said, "I love your shirt." And I was like, "I love your shirt." And we kind of patted each other on the back. And
to be fair, you bought that shirt at Man Monster. What was the vendor?
I don't remember the name of the vendor, but they had a lot of really cool fucking...
Yeah, they had a couple of Jason ones I was like eyeballing.
Yeah, that was really cool. I wish that he was up this way, but I mean, hopefully he'll be at Mad Monster next year so I can just throw just money at him.
Yes, yes.
Just lots of money. Give me all your shirts. But yeah, the party. How do you end up meeting people at the con? Really in line or being just around and you see somebody's t-shirt, say hello, especially horror cons. I got to say, people are a lot more friendly at horror cons than any other con that I've been to.
Mm-hmm. Honestly, yeah.
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 I mean, between Comic Cons and I haven't been to any anime cons yet. I do want to do Dragon Con one year. I bet it's fucking fun.
I have friends that go every year, so I already know people that will be there. I don't know why I haven't gone yet, and unfortunately, apparently it's like the fucking Caligula of nerd conventions where everybody's just fucking everybody.
Sweet.
Except, you know, very happily in a relationship now, so I missed my window of being able to go over and get into like a group fucking like cosplay orgy ghost from Pac-Man is fucking fucking somebody from the Sandman comics, you know.
I'm just saying that's sweet that happens, like,
yeah,
kudos.
No, I mean, I'm super happy for them.
Good job for you guys. Like, yeah,
well, I mean, similar things happen. I used to
get your fuck
do live action role playing, like the Camarilla fan club and all that kind of stuff.
And it's okay. This is a safe space to talk about that.
I feel safe.
Yes.
Kind of stuff happened at those things too, but it's convention people. What are you going to do?
Yeah, yeah.
Not so much role-playing conventions, though. I've been to Cherry Hill a few times at role-playing conventions, but like D&D and, you know, live-action stuff, but never been to any of the horror conventions out there. That's what I really want to do.
Yeah, because they're so fun.
Next year.
Is the role-playing convention at Cherry Hill at the same place, the Crown Plaza, or is it somewhere
else? It may be. I mean, I haven't been since 2010, so...
Okay.
Yeah. It was actually earlier that year before Horrifying.
But most of the time, I end up talking to people, like, low down, I'd say probably the same, just standing out in front of the hotel. Like, oftentimes, that's where people congregate to smoke cigarettes, or they're waiting for pizza, or something. And so there's just a crowd of nerds hanging out, talking about how cool each other's t-shirts are, and then talking about, you know, genre stuff, and like last night I talked to a guy about his battle axe that he had with him, and
battle axe was awesome.
That was pretty fucking awesome. But
sweet,
yeah, you just end up shooting the shit with somebody. There's a dude that we've ran into a couple times that's wearing a Broncos hat, and the Chargers are playing the Broncos in a couple weeks, so we were razzing each other and talking about metal because
he has a Gorguts shirt, which is awesome.
Yeah. But no, that's the thing, is you just end up hanging out with people where you don't have to explain your love because they're in that same thing as well. So you immediately have a friendship right off the bat, you know, because you have this thing that you're obsessed with enough to go to a convention for and like stay over the entire weekend, and they do too. So you pretty much get along right away until people start talking about how the moon landing was faked. And we've got to close our borders.
I was going to mention that. Thank you. Yeah. Sometimes it's uncomfortable, but yeah. Hey. It's all good.
Well, that's the thing. It's not that you still have the same like religious, political, or ideological affiliations. You just like horror movies. So that's when you just kind of steer back or just like, oh, my friend's calling me. Yeah. You may not have heard them.
Or
but
there's
I have
enough
to go
alcohol involved
way.
Where it's okay.
Yeah. But ultimately, that's why I suggest if you have the opportunity to go for a full weekend to Monster Mania or any horror cons in your area, if you're not from this area, check it out. It's worth it. I mean, the three of us split the hotel room, and so it's like $100 a piece, basically, for the weekend, for the room, and then, of course, the convention entry fee. So if you, say, bring $300, and you're smart about your money during the weekend, like we brought a Foreman grill with sausages and shit, so we didn't have to go eat out every time.
Dude, you save so much money.
$300, you're going to be perfectly fine, you know?
Which, for a weekend of partying, isn't bad at all.
That's not bad at all.
And if you think that's bad, you obviously haven't partied. Because I'm just saying, like, seriously, $300 for a weekend of just complete inebriation is not a bad deal.
No, it really isn't. Being under the influence, as it were.
That was a bad. Was hey, bad.
Look, both of you have done dad jokes.
And we did them well.
That was pretty good.
Not the way you said it.
No?
You said, under the influence? Like, dude, no, man.
Like, wait, I didn't do the neck motions like you just did.
You just totally did.
No, I did not.
Jesse, back me up.
Yeah, it's pretty cheesy, man.
Was it bad?
It was, fuck. Shameless self-promotion is okay.
Yeah, it is. I get that, but you were just like...
But it's got to be clever or overtly.
Like, we love you,
obvious.
God damn it. All right, we're going to take a short break. After our break, we're going to have the interview with Robert Englund and probably a few other interviews as well. So just after our break and our interviews. So stick around.
Hey guys, thank you for watching the GUI podcast. This is Nick from Instant Replay Live. I get plugged here a lot and I'm being allowed to do it myself this time. I'm going to plug myself as much as I can. You can check out our Twitter at INST Replay Live. I'm going to plug myself again. I'm plugging myself in front of all these guys right here. You can find us on YouTube if you search for Instant Replay Live, or youtube.com/C/InstantReplayLive, or at InstantReplayLive.com. We do video games, we do tabletop role-playing games, and we do reviews and all kinds of other stuff. So check us out.
Totsky from the YMM Podcast. Big fans of the Geeks Under the Influence. Talk about all the same shit, so definitely check us out. YMMPodcast.com.
This is Mike the Hobbit, direct from Fallout on a trivia night, telling you to come here every first and third Monday for trivia between 8 and 10, 25-cent wings, drink specials, prizes, and tons of really inappropriate trivia. It's a lot of fun. Do you guys agree? Woo! So that's proof that definitely come out and enjoy trivia every first and third Monday at Fallout.
In addition to Fallout, Geeks Under the Influence takes over Wonderland on the corner of 18th and Main Street for Geeks Under the Influence trivia every second and fourth Tuesday. So come and check it out. Ridiculous trivia, goofy music, great food, cheap drinks on the corner of 18th and Main Street, 1727 East Main. Come and check us out, 8 to 10, every second and fourth Tuesday. Have you ever wanted to see Geeks Under the Influence live? Well, guess what? You have your chance. This October 27th from 9 to 11 p.m. at Wonderland, 1727 East Main Street, we're going to do Geeks Under the Influence live VHS Massacre. The evening of events are inspired and approved by the gentlemen at NewYorkCine.com, C-I-N-E, and their fantastic documentary VHS Massacre. You can check that out going through Troma.com and look up VHS Massacre, or it's actually free for Prime users on Amazon. If you want to buy a physical copy through Amazon, just make sure you do it through the link at GUIPodcast.com. The way it works is we have a competition between the Geeks Under the Influence panelists to see who can deliver the worst VHS tape possible. Each panelist has a month to scour Richmond thrift stores and yard sales for the most bizarre and unsettling VHS movie. Each movie gets 5 minutes of screen time. That includes fast-forwarding, rewinding to find the best moments. The winner is judged by applause, and in between we will talk about our favorite cult films and the rise and fall of physical media. Just to be clear, only the panelists will have time to show their VHS selection. So come out October 27th between 9 and 11 for VHS Massacre with Geeks Under the Influence.
Interview. I don't like lowdown.
You don't.
I think he's a bully.
Lowdown may have mad dogged Mr. Robert Englund before we had the interview. We're not entirely sure.
No.
But apparently there's some animosity built up.
No, just Lowdown has the most hardcore t-shirt at the HorrorCon, and that's really saying something. Because I've been looking at entrails all day.
I take great pride in that. That's awesome.
So ultimately, what we want to ask you is, your experiences as a legend of film and being part of cons, what are some of your favorite experiences that you've seen or been part of in conventions?
Well, the great thing for an actor, any of us, is that we get feedback from the fans on not only our old movies and our old TV shows and our old voiceover work, but we get instant feedback on our new stuff. You don't get that in the world of film and television and voiceovers. We work in a vacuum. Like, I just did a comedy thing last year for Workaholics.
Oh, now, this is a good show.
Adam has broken big, and he's a big star now. But when I did that, it's like you're in a vacuum. You don't know if you're funny, if you're being a proper straight man, if you're setting them up for the jokes. So when I get all the love at the cons back from Workaholics, or let's say I have some horror film that I did somewhere between 2005 and 2010, And now it's slowly ascending. When it came out, it didn't get big theatrical distribution. Maybe it went directly to DVD or to cable. And now it's been discovered on Netflix, or it's been discovered on DVD, or it's been discovered on Amazon, and it's starting to ascend as a cult classic. So I have three or four of those out there that are, every time I attend a con, I get more love, I get more fans that talk to me about a movie like Behind the Mask, The Rise of Leslie Vernon, a film that I'm really proud of, or The Last Showing, a film I starred in three summers ago with Finn Jones from the Game of Thrones. It's a little De Palma-esque thriller in the same kind of neighborhood as a one-hour photo. And I get the feedback from the fans, and I get posters, and when I'm in Europe or I'm in Asia, I get to see the fan art there. Or the actual publicity art for those films, which I've never seen before. And as I get older, I love that. I was telling William Catt, who's here, and we did, you know, we go way back, Billy Catt and I. And I've worked with his mom, and I've worked with William in Big Wednesday, and I'm a big fan of his, and I know his whole career. But I was just over in Australia, and they're apeshit over there for Big Wednesday, our John Milius surfing movie. And I saw ad art in Australia that I know if William had been with me, we would have gone and we'd have gotten into a drawdown on who was going to buy it. It was so cool. I mean, really cool images of William, really cool images of me, Gary Busey, great crazy art on the girls, Patty d'Arbonville and Leap herself, because the Australians, which is a huge surfing culture, they worship that film. So these are the kind of experiences you never prepared for, but they're really great for the old ego, let me tell you.
Sure.
Speaking of your newer work, could you shine some light on, you had a series you did with FearNet in the late 2000s. How was that, working with that?
Well, that was difficult. FearNet was a trick because I was working with Rob Hall and some really good actors. In fact, one of them, Lucas Till, was on that show, and Kane Hodder, who plays Jason, was on that show. We had a lot of terrific actors working with us, and some really talented young kids and effects people from the Rob Hall a shop, and these are the people that did Buffy the Vampire Killer. These are the people that do Teen Wolf. They've done some really great down and dirty horror, like Chrome Skull.
Yeah,
and some other stuff. But we were dealing with a whole new world then, which was, you know, the limited 5-minute storytelling of the internet, and by doing those webisodes, we had to contract everything. Mm-hmm. And a picture really does become worth 1,000 words.
Yeah.
And telling a story that way was a great lesson, especially for an old dog like me. So it really kept us on our toes. And it was originally intended always to be a movie, but we got hired by the FearNet people to do Fear Clinic, and then eventually we raised the money to make the film. But it was kind of an experience in reverse for me. I'm used to doing a movie, then later on it becomes a TV show or a song or something, or a comic book or a graphic novel. But this was the reverse of that. We started out very small, and this little contracted storytelling for this great hook of an idea. And what I love about Fear Clinic is it's the hook of phobias is as great as the hook of dreams that we had in Nightmare on Elm Street.
Yeah, phobias are legit fears, so like the fact you were able, yeah.
I mean, they're real. I mean, I'm just disappointed we never got to do the one, I mean, fear of clowns, you know.
No, I'm not okay with that.
I'm sorry, he's drilling at the mouth here. His head's shaking. Oh my God, he's throwing away really nasty photos of Tim Curry on the floor and stomping on them. I don't understand this behavior, viewers.
No,
is he wussy? What's happening?
I know that previous to your dive into horror, you're a well-trained actor that found yourself part of the horror genre.
Guys, I'm just an old character actor. I've done 80 movies. 80.
80.
Now, I don't like to brag because I hang out with Lance Hendrickson, and he's done twice that amount. But I'm just a utility actor. And I thank my lucky stars that I simultaneously had a hit science fiction television series and a hit international horror movie at the same time, because horror movies, science fiction movies, fantasy movies speak the international language of cinema.
Yeah.
And it opened doors for me to work all over the world. So if I do a pilot in L.A. and it doesn't sell, the financing runs out on a little film I'm preparing, I can run off and chase a gorgeous young actress around a castle in Spain, or Italy, or Germany, or Ethiopia, or wherever the fuck they want me to go.
Now, in closing, is there any passion project, a character from literature or previous films that you would like to play in the future? Just something that you would love to, just not that you will at any point, but something that would make your heart so happy to play the character.
Well, I'm hoping to do a sequel to Behind the Mask, The Rise of Leslie Vernon.
Oh.
Because that was the beginning of my homage to Donald Pleasence from the Halloween movies.
Yeah.
And I love that script, and the sequel script is phenomenal. And I love all those people. I get to work with Scott Wilson again, mm-hmm. Nathan Basil, a lot of great people, a lot of talent on that set. In fact, I just did a movie with the art director from that movie called Midnight Man with Lynn Shay from Insidious, which will be coming out next year. And I'm really happy with that. But no, I mean, in literature and in classic villainy, I'm a little long in the tooth. I could probably dye my hair and do a limited run of it. But I have a really amazing Iago up my sleeve. I understudied Iago with a magnificent actor playing Othello named Roger Robinson, who won the Tony a couple of years ago.
Nice.
And I solved all the problems from backstage. It's a luxury you get when you're starting out as a young actor. If when your scenes are over, you just sit backstage and watch the play every night. And if there is a scene that doesn't work, that you're not in, or there's a problem scene, you can figure it out. Eventually, you figure it out. It helps you as a director, and it helps you as an actor. And I really figured out the trick to Iago and how he needs to talk to the audience and how he needs to confront that audience with the fact that, oh, you're judging me? What is he then that says I play a villain? Act two, scene two.
Well, I really hope you have the opportunity to do the sequel.
Oh, I'll probably be in Die, Die, Pretty Peggy, Suck My Dick is my next movie.
Well, if you can do 2002 Maniacs, I would very much appreciate that as well.
That's so. Lynn Shay, too. God love her. You know, Lynn Shay's having a renaissance. I've just got to give some props here. You know, we talk about third acts in careers. Lynn's having a fourth act in her career.
Amazing.
And, you know, because she was an off Broadway bitch. Mm-hmm. And Lynn's having this great fourth act, and she's so good in Midnight Man, so check it out in 2017.
Will do, definitely.
Absolutely.
Pleasure,
thank
sir.
You so much for sitting with us.
Thank you.
Hobbit here from Geeks on the Influence, and I'm here with a independent filmmaker that wants to talk a little bit about a film that he's schlocking at Monster Mania.
Hey everybody, James Balsamo here, CEO of Acid Bath Productions. That's right, I'm a writer, director, actor, special effects guy, and handsome motherfucker. Here to talk about my new movie, Killer Waves, Life's a Beach, and Then You Die. It's got Phil Anselmo, that's right, from Pantera, and Chris Mulkey from Rambo, Robert Millay from The Strain, Guar, The Aquabats, so many bands and awesome people are in this movie, and me, it's starring me, James Balsamo. So go to acidbathproductions.com and check it out.
And I gotta say, like, at first I thought his voice was like a put-on, but after talking to him for a minute, he actually sounds like that. So I'm sure, like, during the movie you're gonna still be able to hear that, like, boisterous, exciting tone. I gotta ask you, I've seen you, when we first started talking before recording, I've seen you at a number of different conventions. So you are dedicated to this film.
I am dedicated to all of my films. I just finished my 7th feature film. Go and check out my IMDb page. It's kind of fancy. So, but hey, beautiful, how you doing? Oh, all right. I'll see you later. Don't mind me. Ever the ladies' man, James Balsamo, getting a little.
Well, and to be fair, there's plenty of beauties at a horror con.
It's true.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. And if you haven't met me, I'm James Balsamo. Come see my GNC
Simmons impersonation. I know some mean licks, and I'm not talking about guitar.
So ultimately, what do you think are the best parts and worst parts of being an independent filmmaker, really pushing your wares at a con? Like what's the biggest joys and the worst heartaches about it?
Well, the biggest joys is the people, and the biggest heartaches is the people. You know, I've
fair enough.
You know,
enough.
People is like Soylent Green. It varies from person to person.
Yeah.
You know, so it's great when you meet people that are excited and know who I am. And what's hard about being an independent filmmaker is that my films do sell in Walmart, Target, Best Buy, Barnes & Noble. No big deal, you know. And people come up to me and say, hey.
I mean, that's still got to be kind of cool.
It's amazing. Yeah. But my point is people go, hey. You know, they see me at a con. They don't know me. They go, hey, you got to start somewhere. You're doing great, buddy.
And you're good like, no, but seriously.
No, but really, they sell in Best Buy. Go check. They're like, good for you. Good for you. And it's like, okay, I'll keep making movies. But you know what? I wrote a book. Let me talk a little bit about that. I wrote 100 worst one-liners. Okay, you get that at Acid Bath Production.
Oh,
you want your joke?
Oh, my God. No, well, any listener to Geeks Under the Influence knows that I am a purveyor of dad jokes. So if you got bad jokes, trust me, like you were talking to the right customer. I want to hear like your best couple.
Okay,
give me some good ones.
This just started. Hey, where do vampires keep their beer? The Dracula.
God damn it. God damn it.
That joke sucks. I'm kidding. It bites.
Oh.
I should stop telling vampire jokes. They're so draining. Hey, if you like that joke, you can take it to the bank. The Blood Bank. Speaking of vampire movies, I made a movie called Bite School. It's an education you can really sink your teeth into. Butch Patrick, Herschel Gordon Lewis. That's right. The late Herschel Gordon Lewis. Herschel Gordon Lewis is devastating. He's a good friend of mine. He's in my movie Bite School. Mm. And also Ron Jeremy. And me. It's fantastic. Really.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
All right. So check out all of that. You can find links to all of that at on the notes from this episode. So check it out and enjoy the rest of the episode. We're back after our interviews and our break. And we're talking, of course, about Monster Mania in Hunt Valley, Maryland. Knees deep in booze at this point, and probably not in a place that we should be recording. But fortunately for us, we have two friends of ours that made their trek over to Hunt Valley to hang out with us and see the debauchery that is Geeks Under the Influence on the road. Ms. Mary and Evan are here.
Yes.
Mrs.
I saw the ring.
Yeah.
I'm just saying.
I'm just being a dick. Ooh, he got territorial up in this bitch.
That's cool, though. Yeah.
That's sexy.
I like it. I like it a lot, sir.
So, Evan and Mary, thank you for joining us. You guys were nice enough to drive, 45 minutes, hour, or something like that?
45, yeah.
45 minutes out of your way to get over
it. It would have been less if I didn't, you know. My GPS took a crap like mid-95, so we went 20 minutes south of the exit we're supposed to get off at. We had to reroute and come back.
We had the same problem.
Which hasn't talked in a while. Where are we going?
We were rolling up, and the GPS decided to go, by the way, fuck you.
That's your fucking phone.
Yeah, well, my...
He has an S3.
I have a Galaxy S3, so...
I'm so sorry.
Yeah, right?
Yeah, it's...
And whenever I drive somewhere, he's always riding bitch, so, like, at that point, you're the navigator, right? You know, and he needs to upgrade his fucking phone.
That's on the list of so many things I need to purchase.
It'd be free to upgrade to like an S6 right now, dude.
No, because I'm a pay per.
You can walk into a fucking
because you're
Apple
dumbass.
Store and drop $30 and get an iPhone 7.
Fuck iPhone. Fuck Apple.
No, actually,
fuck
no,
Apple.
I agree with this gentleman. Fuck iPhone. I'm not.
I agree completely, except for the fact that I have one, but I still agree.
So you have one, yet you make bad choices.
But you want us to go to Project
5. Well, look
at
his ponytail. He makes that
super douchey.
Just because I look like a...
Holy shit. Dude.
You look like the guy that taught Steven Seagal his moves.
There's another point for Steven Seagal. No, I get Steven Seagal all the time, and I love it, ironically.
Because it's Steven Seagal, though.
Like, you love it, ironically.
There was a point where Steven Seagal was the ultimate badass.
Which is actually a plus for Mary, because you're really good with handwork, but footwork not so much. But I'm assuming she's a lady that doesn't prefer footwork, so like it works out.
I think you'd
that's
be
a loose term.
Yay, fisting!
Oh.
Darker. Ooh,
That's quickly.
He doesn't understand innuendo.
Fisting, yay! Fisting is now quickly becoming possibly the name of this episode.
Yay! Fisting. Holy shit!
You said to me earlier, I look like a bouncer at a suburban bar.
Yeah, no,
that was amazing.
Middle,
middle class. That was his opening line to me. It was in the driveway here.
It was the shorter sleeves that you had on your on your plain black T-shirt, like you just came back from a Henry Rollins concert.
I literally rolled up with like a pack of cigarettes in them.
Okay, so.
So yeah, so like back to issue.
Move on.
Back to fisting. This is going well.
So, Mary and Evan, you were very nice enough to join us in this debauchery, and I very much appreciate it. Unfortunately, some of us were not able to join you on the dinner party because we were busy getting drunk with our new con friends, and
they had alcohol.
There was an entire prom there too. You should have got in on that.
Yeah, they were like chanting. You guys were weird.
No,
you guys were gone. Like,
that didn't cost a lot. So.
You guys were gone for like 3 hours. So.
If you were, you were gone for a hot minute.
Yeah,
it wasn't that long.
So. Yes, it was, dude.
We were gone that long.
It was like an hour.
You just missed us.
No, it was like more than an hour.
Thank you. See, yeah.
I have no concept of anything.
Yeah, it was like 3 hours.
okay. It was like five minutes for me.
We had lots of metaphysical bullshit to diss.
We went into a black hole.
Oh, see, I don't do metaphysical at all. Like, I like to keep.
No,
it,
no, but
like,
he was talking about dissing it.
Dissing it?
Yeah.
Oh, dissing metaphysical.
Yes.
Oh, no, I'm down for that. That's fine.
Yeah.
That's fine. By the way, you can see Mary on...
I know where this is going.
Is this are we like paying for this now? Is he endorsing you?
No, actually.
No, anytime you start talking about dissing metaphysical stuff, you then, know, you know,
actually,
Karen comes up.
You know, Mary is a fellow podcaster. You can find her, give the info.
Coffee with the Dead or Spirits Awake on Facebook.
Yeah.
Medicophysicologist.
Which
I am
That's
not.
Fantastic.
No, but all things creepy, Mary is able to talk to you about on her, is it video stream or?
Oh, it's arenum.com and look up Para Ann. I do live tarot readings.
Nice.
Oh, nice.
Nice.
Well, spiritswake.com is up now too.
It is, but it's not really officially.
I mean, it looks great. There's just no content, but it looks awesome.
It is under construction. Do not go there.
Okay. But she is a fellow content creator, I guess. Is
ologist.
Put it. Yeah. Yeah.
Ologist.
That's honestly part of the reason why I love coming to these things is you find content creators, whether it be independent filmmakers or podcasters, artists. There are so many people that congregate together to talk about their wares and the things they do, and they're so passionate about their projects. And that's part of the reason why conventions are so important to me is that it's a time for independent people to shine, like Mary, like Geeks Under the Influence. And that's part of the reason why we try to put conventions in the limelight, because it's an opportunity, like the independent film director that we had an interview with, to have a moment to shine, you know, and... So there's so seldom a chance for people to actually have that moment. It's genre people holding them each other up, and it's important. It's incredibly important. And I can't think of another situation where you have that. I mean, there's stuff in Richmond where content creators like have like get-togethers and stuff, but it's more for themselves. This is conventions are a chance for content creators to shine for the people that actually buy the product.
Well, it's one of the few places where they actually network and work together and cross-promote instead of just promoting themselves.
Yeah.
There's a real sense of community. It's not competition, it's community.
Well,
that's important.
And I've seen that especially with horror cons where it absolutely has a sense of community, where everybody's together, everybody's part of it, everybody's working so hard to make everything that they make become more apparent to the populace. You know, like everybody is supporting each other. We talked earlier on the episode about where the vendors actually vend between each other, where there's a guy that does cutouts for all these independent films. so they have things at their table. Like, they do everything for each other because ultimately, just like this podcast, as the tide rises, so do all the boats in the harbor. Like, everybody gets better if they're cross-promoting. And I cannot think of a better sense of community than I've seen at a horror convention. And something we've tried to develop with podcasts in the Richmond area and Coffee with the Dead is definitely a friend of Geeks Under the Influence. And I would thoroughly suggest any of our friends that are listening, that are fans of the supernatural and the unexplainable, to check out that podcast as well.
We are on iTunes, so
it's so
very easily accessed.
Very easily accessed. Yeah. That's the
Google Play is better.
Not on that.
No, actually, I agree with Evan. I'm not a big fan of Apple in general, but
look, I hate this thing. So the camera's really good.
Well, the problem is that you can't be a podcast and not be on iTunes. You have to be on iTunes. That's
you got to reach the most amount of people,
and they
and
have.
A free download, too. The show doesn't cost anything to listen to. So.
Yeah, exactly. So, this was a drunk decision on my part to add this.
Yes, it was.
To this, yes. And we don't really have any content to talk about, aside from the fact that, like, community,
I'd like to point out, given the community thing, we met Mary at a horror convention.
That is true. Yeah,
6 years ago.
Yep. That was, what, 2010?
It was Horrifying 2010.
Horrifying 2010.
Yeah.
We ended up talking for like an hour outside of something. And
it was the
that's right. We were waiting for Bruce Campbell.
Bruce Campbell was going to speak, but there wasn't enough seats, so we hung outside.
And then he drove by in his limo flicking us all off.
Yeah.
And walked down high-fiving everybody for about 2 seconds before he jumped back in the limo.
Yep.
So that goes to what we were talking about earlier of con friends is we've Facebook friended a few people this evening that we're probably going to end up friends with for years after this, because sometimes meeting people at cons actually means something, and it's important, and you want to spend time with these people afterwards. And
sometimes it's not just a drunken phone number you forget in the morning.
No, sometimes it's actually somebody that you actually want to spend time with after. So honestly, if it's not Monster Mania, if it's not Mad Monster, if it's not Scares That Care, all the cons that we talked about, no, these are all great. But depending on where you're listening, go to your local convention and meet people that like the same shit that you like. Because ultimately, you can't only have a community on the internet. That's great to have, but you need to have people that are physically there.
And don't be shy to bring up your idea or your projects, because they're not going to laugh at you like they may outside of cons. Con people are a whole different breed. They want to hear your ideas.
That's incredibly true. Yeah.
It is very true.
Everybody at a con is so accepting and excited and wants to hear about your projects. And
even the vendors and the celebrities.
Absolutely.
Say whatever. Tell them what you're working on. You never know when they might have a little piece of information for you.
Very true. So go to a con. If it's not this one, if it's not some of the ones we mentioned, go to a convention. Meet some of your like-minded folks and find long friendships out of it. And find reasons to visit other cities, because your con friend is going to let you crash on their couch. I mean, there's plenty of reasons to do this.
It's not even visit, along with visiting your like con friends, also like the celebrities that are there. Like, the celebrities at cons have no problem with talking to you about what to do. If you have a solid question about trying to get into an aspect of the industry, they will generally have an answer for you.
True.
They will have a story like, oh, well, I went through that, and this is what I did. And it just gives you a different perspective to overcome what you're dealing with at the same time. Like, you know,
absolutely.
We talked to, Amanda Weiss earlier, and like, she was talking about like, what she has done since Nightmare on Elm Street and where she's moving at now. It's like, she's still very active, but because of that, you know, she's been able to be constantly active. Or Christy Swanson, where she's like constantly been involved with and not really so much with horror either. Like, Christy Swanson, even though she played Buffy, she's not a fan of horror. So all of her stuff outside of that has been not really horror related, you know? So she's done things that has made, like, that has kept her career going, but they haven't been geared towards anything of the supernatural or of the, you know, that sort of thing. So
yeah, I want to give an update from our last recording. This is post the Q&A with all the Nightmare on Elm Street guys.
Oh yeah,
I gotta say the biggest moment. We're not gonna do a complete recap. If you weren't here, you weren't here. But
damn.
So fuck you.
Basically, that's what you just did.
Yeah, yeah, I kind of did that, didn't I? Yeah,
no, you did that.
I didn't mean it like
just,
that.
Just blame the beer.
Don't lie. Yeah. It's okay.
Yeah, I'm hammered right now. That's actually not entirely untrue. So they spoke so well of Wes Craven. Like there was a moment where there was a standing ovation about Wes Craven.
It got emotional.
It got.
It was really fucking awesome.
It got really emotional. It
really was.
Point. And I was stoked as shit because I was ready to ask a question about Wes Craven. And then the question that wasn't about Wes Craven at all turned to Wes Craven. Like, they all were ready to talk about it. And then it just happened. So I asked a question about their experiences with cons and shit. And like, it was a fun question.
No, it was a good question, but it...
Yeah. But like my first question, it kind of turned into that anyway because it was all on their minds and they talked about their experiences working with Wes Craven and it was tear jerky as fuck and everybody loves the fuck out of him and sees him as like the one of the be all end all best like visionaries of film, not just in genre but in general. And it meant a lot to watch that, to see, you know, Freddy fucking Krueger, Robert Englund. Getting kind of teary-eyed about Wes Craven. That was, oh, God, that's worth the ticket alone.
That was special.
That was very special.
Well, I mean, look at what Wes Craven's done, though. I mean, yeah, like, you know, you have The Last House on the Left. You have The Fucking Hills Have Eyes. He had a very solid career before Nightmare on Elm Street. And then that just fucking went bonkers. You know what I mean? Like, Wes Craven had an amazing career before.
Yeah.
Nightmare on Elm Street just kind of like set him off fucking rails.
Well, he's one of those names that, you know, we grew up with. We've heard him, you know, all along our history of, you know, this hobby that we have, you know.
Hobby.
You know,
That's cute you call it a hobby. I call it a weird, desperate obsession, but, you know, like a hobby. Hobby is fine.
Yeah, hobby works.
Yeah.
You know, just to compress it down into one term.
Yeah, yeah.
But, you know, we think like, okay, us, you know, kind of, you know, inspiring celebrities maybe, but have been influenced by him.
Yeah.
And then to see actual celebrities, you know, like Robert Englund getting so emotional about it. It's like, so he touches not just the small people, but
even the big people
who've worked right alongside
him. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And that's the reason to come to a con, is that you see how much... even the celebrities influence each other. You know, it's not this weird us versus them situation where it's just the fans and then the celebrities. There's the veil is thinner at a convention where the celebrities and the fans get to interact, and the celebrities and the people that they honor gets thinner at conventions because they see how much those people affect, you know, the fans. And they get tear jerky. I can't count the number of times I've had a tear jerky moment at a Q&A where somebody's talking about somebody that passed, a co-star or a director. I mean, it's happened multitudes of times. That alone, for that fucking heartstring pulling moment, is worth the price of admission, hands down. Hands down.
Truth. Yeah. It really is.
And that's when it becomes everyone in the room. There's no barrier between celebrity and the attendees. We're all just people experiencing the same event and grieving with it and
going through it. It's all everyone, celebrity and convention are together just building up and celebrating a thing that we mutually love together.
Yep.
And there's no better sense of camaraderie that I've had in any convention I've been to, more so than a horror con, especially at Hunt Valley, where it's so intimate and it's not a fucking throwdown party, rush all the fans kind of situation. It's very chill. I can't think of a better situation to meet your idols than Monster Mania. So I love it here. And we'll be here next year, probably. So
yeah, I don't see why not.
Yeah. So we're going to conclude this. But thank you so much for listening. And thank you for Evan and Mary for joining us on this as well. And check out Coffee with the Dead on iTunes.
Love you, bro.
All right, we're going to wrap up this episode so we can get back to the partying.
I love you, Mike.
Partying with our con friends. Stick around for more horror-related stuff in the month of October. We're doing all horror all October. And then that's going to finish off at the beginning of November with our live episode of VHS Massacre.
Yes.
We talked about it on the trauma episode where there was a documentary that came out about the death of physical media through streaming services and how that affects independent cinema. And they did a competition to try to find the weirdest and worst VHSs that they could find at thrift stores and stores and everything. We're doing a live version with the blessing of the filmmakers at Wonderland on the 27th of October. Wonderland is on the corner of 18th and Main in Richmond, Virginia. So definitely come out. It's going to be from 9 to 11-ish. And we're going to show really schlocky shit that we found in thrift stores on VHS and talk about independent cinema and how it's been affected by streaming services and downloadable content, and you know that it makes it harder sometimes for independent filmmakers to get their wares out. So definitely come and join us, or if not, we'll have the live episode release about a week after that. So like around November 4th, I think, or something like that. It'll come out as an audio version, and we might have some video stuff as well. So definitely look into that, and
you know, definitely make sure to check in for the month of October. Like, we got some really solid episodes. If you're into just the whole idea of October, I mean, like, you know, Halloween's the end of the month, man. Like,
oh, yeah.
We've got, should we give them a little glimpse?
Yeah, some, absolutely.
Like, after this, we've got a Buffy the Vampire Slayer movie and TV show episode coming out.
Yep.
After that, we've got, I know we've got some listeners that are huge Kirkman fans. We got a Walking Dead episode coming out.
Oh yeah.
So we're going to talk about the comic and the show and the comparisons and differences. Cause they have made some serious changes in the show, but they've done it really fucking well.
Yeah, they have.
And then, for me, the piece de resistance is fucking John Carpenter.
John fucking Carpenter.
We're literally going to be just like jerking ourselves off and talking about John Carpenter on that episode.
You're just
going to
hear a lot of weird wet skin noises. Like,
it's fucking John Carpenter. I'm sorry. Like, I want to give a nod.
That is that's for me is Romero. For you,
John Carpenter is my
your guy.
My all time.
Yeah,
be all end all. But as a side note, I do want to give a nod. We need to give a nod and a moment of silence to fucking Wes Craven.
Absolutely.
We really do, because he's prevalent at this con right now between the guests and the patrons. You know, like the celebrity guests and the patrons, he's very
well. Even Christy Swanson, it was brought up in her Q&A that she got to work with him, and she kind of got emotional. Like, she didn't like loudly cry or anything,
he was a dear. He was great to work with. Like,
she was completely broken. You know? To talk about him made her kind of messed up, because that's the kind of guy he was. Everybody that has ever worked with him says the same thing, that he was an absolute sweetheart and was a pleasure to work with.
Because it's fucking Wes Craven, man. Aside of Freddy, he did Serpents in the Light.
God, it's Wes fucking Craven.
It's Wes Craven, man. Like, whoo! He's up there with John. He's up
Wait,
there
did
with
you
John
say
Carpenter.
Serpents in the Light?
Yeah.
I mean, Serpent in the Rainbow?
Serpent in the Rainbow.
Serpent in the Rainbow, yeah.
Serpent in the Rainbow.
Hugely underappreciated flick.
It is.
Yeah.
It really is. Yeah. I love the video.
He also did They, which we won't talk about. And
he did the first
No. This is the thing. This is the thing about They. I loved They simply because I saw a bootleg that the ending was different from anything that was included on the DVD.
Really?
It was very strange. I got the DVD, I looked through all the alternate endings, I'm like, and it wasn't on there, and I'm like, I hit jackpot. It was a great ending.
That's fantastic.
I really enjoyed the movie because of that ending.
Oh yeah.
But, you know, then he also did, you know, fucking Last House on the Left, man.
Last like House on the
indie fucking
left.
Film,
yeah, oh god.
With and the same song the entire movie.
That movie is
Road
fucking
Leads to Nowhere. That
brutal.
Was the fucking song on the entire god. Yeah, the OG film was brutal as fuck.
Super
dude.
Brutal. I mean, it's like I spit on your grave level of brutal. Like it's fucking vicious.
So, I just wanted to throw that out before we go. Like, no, he's very prevalent at this con, especially. He will always be prevalent at anything horror related because he's fucking Wes Craven, but with who's here this weekend, I think that his spirit is here. And
there's an entire hotel in Maryland right now full of people that have nothing but love and respect and a little bit of like sadness about Wes Craven, because he's no longer around. we're so happy that he was who he was and what he created.
And did what he did.
Yeah.
Oh, my God, man.
But we're sad that he went in a selfish way. You know?
No more Wes Craven awesomeness like is coming.
Even his cameo in his own movie in New Nightmare was fantastic. Where he played himself.
Yeah, where he played himself. Yeah. He's like, Heather, I don't...
I'm stuck on the spot where there's a kid standing on top of a jungle gym.
Yeah, you know? It's awesome. So good.
So So this is the end of this episode of Geeks Under the Influence. Follow us on social media on Facebook, Twitter, Tumblr. All of those links you can find at GUIpodcast.com. And join the conversation. Let us know what you want to hear, what you liked about previous episodes, and rate us on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn, Google Play Music, anywhere that you get your podcasts. If you can rate and comment, please. I'm not saying you have to rate us 5 stars, but I wouldn't be mad if you did. And it definitely helps us move up in the ranks a little bit. So, let us know what you think about this episode and ones coming out in the future or previous ones. And as always, join us or die.
Shut the fuck up, Hobbit. Join us or die, or I will swallow your soul. Necronomicon gives us power to rise from the dead. You play to take, our play begins to spread. You can fight all you want, cause you thought to resist.